This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
The protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own hill.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
That would authorize to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. With all blessing at the Agenda 21 show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one Orlando, Florida at a time. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the terrorists are here and they're not leaving until we get rid of them, until we put a stop to them. Well, with us on the phone right now, actually by way of Skype, is Scott Bennett. And to help us walk us through some of the things that are going on in Orlando and also some, I think, really blockbuster news, and that is the news about Hillary Rodham Clinton coming out basically and admitting that her foundation has taken money from terrorist countries and naming the countries. Scott, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio.
Paul, it's good to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, it's always good to be back, isn't it? I mean, we've been, this has really been quite an experience over the last year and a half, and of course, several years for you, author of the book Shell Game. And we have featured you at our Liberty Tour in Nevada City, produced a 48-minute video that outlined everything about Hillary Clinton's association and President Barack Hussein Obama's association with worldwide terrorism, and specifically ISIS, and how they actually financed it. And, of course, this is having absolutely enormous reverberations, plus all the other data that you have. As you were working for the military, give us a brief introduction about what you were doing, how you came about the information for the book Shell Game.
Well, in review, for those who are familiar with it, I worked in the Bush administration and then went into the defense contracting world of Booz Allen Hamilton with a top secret clearance. I studied Islamic counterterrorism, and I had worked in advertising, so I wanted to go into psychological warfare and information operations, winning the hearts and minds. So I was recruited into Booz Allen Hamilton by Colonel Jeff Jones, who was the psychological warfare commander at Fort Bragg. He was the wizard of PSYOP, they called him in the community. And I joined his team, and he then gave me a direct commission in the Army, and he said, I'm gonna send you in the Army and train you in military methodologies and systems and everything the military does. So I went into the military as a direct commission officer, similar to what lawyers and doctors get. And I did it to serve my country. I did it because we were at war. I had swallowed the Kool-Aid of the 9/11 narrative that the government gave, which I much later on discovered was completely false when I did the forensic analysis and had been given the information and time to sit down and really think about it. The time, of course, was when they threw me into a federal prison for a paperwork error, which was really camouflage for stopping me from reporting a lot of the Saudi Arabian terrorist financing operations that I was discovering at U.S. Central Command. And that's not to skip too far ahead, but my background after Booz Allen Hamilton in the military was I was at the State Department in the State Counterterrorism. I was at Special Operations Command. And I then was at U.S. Central Command down in MacDill, Florida. And I had been tasked after I had worked at State Department and done a lot of PSYOP stuff there. I was tasked to go down to Central Command and track money supplies for our terrorist financing operations, which were headed up by a guy named Dov Zakheim. Dov Zakheim was the comptroller at the Pentagon in 2001, you may recall. And then after his little terse there, he joined Booz Allen Hamilton as a senior partner and went down and ran the money operations for Central Command. And I was tasked to join his team. And I went down and I'd gotten some special instructions from Colonel Jones about what I was to do and who I was to be working for. And I don't go too much into the public of that because it's still in the court system. But suffice it to say, I went down and started prodding and proking and writing reports and making briefings, and I never talk about anything classified. But the moment I started to really discover some of the fraud, the failure, the incompetence, and the stupidity, I was dogpiled on. I was stopped at the gate. I was accused of a DUI that was later thrown out of court because there was no evidence. And I was fired from Booz Allen using that. And then 9 months later, I was prosecuted by Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer in the Justice Department for 18-100-1, making a false statement. Now, I was very naive. I thought this was all a test. I thought it was a training module to prepare me for deployment. And next thing I know, Donna Shalala's nephew, David Shalala, becomes my lawyer. Donna Shalala was president of the Clinton Foundation. And I didn't think much of it at the time. I thought it was just political connections. Well, the next thing I know, he didn't represent me. He didn't meet me before trial. He didn't put me on the stand. He didn't put any of the evidence that would have totally exculpated me of what they were trying to accuse me of, which was sneaking onto base with guns that were my own private firearms. And they didn't charge me with anything other than making a false statement and wearing my uniform as an Army officer, but somehow they applied a civilian law to me. I mean, this is the most corrupt Justice Department in the history of humanity. And I get sent, I don't say a word. And the next thing I know, I'm found guilty in a civilian court in Florida, civilian federal court, and they instantly throw me into prison. Now, I thought I was going to appeal. Everything was going to be looked at a second time. No. And here's the other interesting thing. The CIA and Wackenhut had engaged in my case and created a false affidavit where one of their agents had sworn I had worn a police uniform, and which was absolutely crazy. But it shows you the layers of fear and depravity and corruption when I had so many people in the alphabet soup coming after me. I obviously was doing something right, or are very dangerous in their eyes in exposing corruption. Well, to make a long story short, I get put on a bus. I'm shipped out to California. The bus takes a U-turn at Oklahoma for some miraculous reason, and I get sent up to Pennsylvania. And that's where I meet Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss banker who had come over a year or so earlier and tried to divulge 24,000 Swiss bank accounts that were being used for terrorist financing, money laundering, drug laundering, all sorts of other operations. And when we put all our stuff together, I said, Brad, you're the golden goose. You're the guy I was looking for. Why didn't I find you? Why didn't I see all these bank accounts that belong to the Saudi Arabians, since that was my area of expertise? I do all the Saudi Arabian money. And he said, Scott, I was forbidden from speaking by Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer. I was thrown in jail. Hillary Clinton, when she's Secretary of the State, and the Clinton Foundation all conspired with Eric Holder to throw me in prison. And this is where we're at now. And he gave me copies of the bank accounts. I've safely copied many of them and put them up in various places. But one of the key ones was a Saudi Arabian named Abdullah Aziz. And he's part, I won't go into too much detail of him yet, but he was a financier of terrorism, and he was tied to Rudy Giuliani in New York and all sorts of shenanigans with Saddam Hussein. But this is a Saudi Arabian that Brad gave me the bank account to. He tried to get it out. They covered it up. When I got it, I sent it up to the military. I sent it up to the Congress. I sent it up to the Senate. I said, I'm an officer of the United States. I've been unjustly imprisoned, and I'm still on mission because I've just found the Swiss banker that has the key to terrorist financing in Swiss banks, specifically Union Bank of Switzerland.
Hang on a second. We got the music coming up. When we come back, we're going to hear more of Scott Bennett and what's really going on with Hillary Rodham Clinton. Boy, is this going to be an explosive interview. So stay tuned to Agenda 21 Radio.
Are you taking Viagra for ED? Now you can get Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, in generic 20 milligrams for just $2 per tablet. That's a savings of over $40 per dose. Marley Drug is a North Carolina pharmacy delivering generic Sildenafil to your door. For information on Sildenafil, call us at 800-919-9263. That's 800-919-9263. Again, 800-919-9263.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Scott Bennett, and we're talking about, a little bit of information about his background, and then we're going to be getting into Hillary Rodham Clinton here and some of the things that are going on, which I think is going to be the explosive part of the interview. But, Scott, can you kind of sum up the background of where you come from? I know the audience has been very intrigued, obviously, at this point. Those that are not new, that are new to Agenda 21 Radio and have not heard what you're all about, but those of the longtime listeners know everything about you. Trust me, they do. So go ahead and summarize.
This is a team sport. This is a team effort. It's not about any individual persons, and I don't do any of this for vanity or glory or profession. I do it because I was an officer of the United States Army. I took an oath, and I took an oath as a presidential appointee in the Bush administration, and I love my country. And I stood up and I reported corruption and stupidity, and I did not back down, and I will never back down. And that's what's propelled me and kept me moving forward in a very attacking way. And I loved your conference, and that really was a takeoff point for so much of it, is speaking there and the symbols that were created and the nexus that was visually represented in that wonderful pyramid schematic. So my summary of a background, of course, was as a military officer in the Army with a direct commission, as a contractor with a high-level top secret security clearance at Booz Allen Hamilton, and seeing and doing everything at the top highest levels of counterterrorism, and working with General Del Daley of Joint Special Operations Command, working with people at the Pentagon, working with people in psychological warfare and terrorist finance and working with the CIA, working with the Treasury Department, working with all the agencies of the federal government. And that's where I have the unique experience and pedigree, is that I worked with all the federal agencies of the United States government in tracking terrorist money supplies. And I did it at a military base at MacDill for U.S. Central Command. So I was part of the whole government apparatus that was tracking down the banks and the financial systems and the players that were giving money to Al-Qaeda, terrorists, Wahhabi, Sunni, ISIS, ISIL, IS, whatever you want to call them. They're all the same same type of jackal. They're the same parasite.
Right.
And, of course, they've got connections to CIA, Mossad, Zionist elements, and MI6 and others as our mercenary force, our bastards, if you will, that we use to destabilize the region, destabilize Assad with the hopes of going in and destabilizing Iran and Russia. That's their long-term game. But not to jump too far ahead, when I started exposing this as an American, as an Army officer, as the people of the country would expect to go in, win a war, and come home, I was dogpiled and I was prosecuted with a fake trumped-up charge. But here's where God kind of intervenes, and the story takes a turn towards the miraculous. Was that I was turned around in mid-flight to California in the desolate Oklahoma winter of December 25th, 2011, and I was shipped up to Pennsylvania instead, and I met Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss banker, who had all the WikiLeaks cables and all of the bank accounts and all of the names and the timeline and all of the materials that he had engaged in from 2007 to 2009. And he had names of Igor Alenikov and Abdullah Aziz, people that were later reported in the Panama Papers. Now, the Panama Papers, as I've shared with you, did not originate a year ago. It originated in 2014 when I contacted Frederick Obermeyer and gave him all this material and pointed him in the direction of Birkenfeld. So it's very suspicious that the whole Panama Papers thing was unleashed, and they did it within 24 hours of a YouTube video that we put up that essentially made this whole story condensed into a 5-minute Wagner song, if you will. And within 24 hours, they released this Panama Papers, which was a regurgitation of everything Birkenfeld and I had released in 2007, 2008, and then again in 2012 when I got a hold of it.
Well, you know, the implications of finding out, you know, who was actually financing terrorism around the world, and especially as it went into ISIS and, now the ISIS that we see today, points a lot of fingers, especially at Hillary Clinton and President Barack Hussein Obama. And you've got a lot of the documentation that actually proves that through all your research. And this is, you know, you're a very scary man to these people. And I know that we've shared a number of times calling various congressmen and so on, letting them know, giving them the heads up as to what these documents pertain to. It's been an interesting process, and I want to get to the Hillary thing here in a second, but it's been a very interesting process to see how your information has been coming out in very interesting places and in ways. And one of the places I think it's certainly been brought out is with Donald Trump hammering on Hillary Rodham Clinton about, and the president, especially now in light of what happened in Orlando, hammering on them about their non-comments about radical Islamic terrorism. And all of a sudden yesterday, read the article, which prompted me to call you, that Clinton slams Clinton Foundation donor countries for funding terrorism. Hello. Hello. And in this slamming that she does, and we've played this on the show several times already today, Qatar, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia, she's condemning. Saudi Arabia gave her $25 million to the Clinton Foundation, and the other two gave her $5 million each.
Yeah.
That we know of. What say you on this?
It's the most indictable evidence and testimony that's come out so far. You couldn't have asked for a better example of someone creating the rope to hang themselves with. And that was what Hillary Clinton did yesterday in the comments, exposing Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia as funding terrorists. That's what we've been saying, specifically me as a military officer in my capacity in terrorist financing, since 2012. and I sent it to Senator Bill Nelson. I sent it to Senator Feinstein. I sent it to the Intelligence Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Foreign Relations Committee, the Judiciary Committee, the Banking Committee. I sent it to Rand Paul, Mike Rogers, everybody that you could imagine at the Senate and the House, like over 100, 150 people. All of them got copies of my report, which was entitled The Terrorist Financing Implications of the Union Bank of Switzerland Brad Birkenfeld Case. And it was raw intelligence. It was human intelligence. It was exactly what a member of the political establishment who raises their hand and swears an oath should have acted on, should have debriefed me about, should have asked for copies, should have asked for all the material. And yet not one single congressman or senator or military official ever, ever came up and got anything from me about this. Until now, it's all coming out like a pustule of poison. And Hillary Clinton did have connections to the Saudi Arabians. When she was Secretary of State, she covered up the Saudi Arabian bank account, Abdullah Aziz, which Brad Birkenfeld had specifically identified was used in terrorist financing that would be used in killing American citizens, killing and maiming our soldiers, our young men and women over there. And they did nothing. They covered it up. They threw Birkenfeld in prison after betraying him. And Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, who worked for the law firm that represented these Saudi banks, Covington and Burling, they prosecuted Birkenfeld. And they also prosecuted me. And Hillary Clinton made a deal with the Swiss. She made a deal with Union Bank of Switzerland. She was paid $225,000 from UBS speaking fees. Her husband was also paid. Of course, George Bush was also paid. But UBS was the key bank that Birkenfeld worked for. And there's all sorts of WikiLeaks cables that describe this. They describe her hidden emails, her emails discussion of this, all sorts of criminal conspiracy stuff.
Hold it up right there, Scott. We got a break coming up. When we come back, I want to get more into this because, ladies and gentlemen, this is explosive because now it's coming out. It's coming forward. And Scott's got all the details. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Are you taking Viagra for ED? Now you can get Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, in generic 20 milligrams for just $2 per tablet. That's a savings of over $40 per dose. Marley Drug is a North Carolina pharmacy delivering generic Sildenafil to your door. For information on Sildenafil, call us at 800-919-9263. That's 800-919-9263. Again, 800-919-9263.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a bill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's Paul Preston at the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio with Scott Bennett. And we're talking about, claims now that Hillary Rodham Clinton is making that, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, they need to knock it off with this terror financing going on. And, of course, Hillary Rodham Clinton was very quick to take the $25 million from the Saudi government, as well as $5 million from Qatar and Qatar and Kuwait. So it's kind of interesting. Her emails are starting to surface, and we've got the actual goods on her in terms of supporting terror financing all around the world, which has led to the formation of ISIS. You know, the same people who killed everybody with the one or two, we're going to talk about that in a second, maybe multiple shooters in Orlando, the same people. So anyway, go ahead, Scott. We're talking about, the implications of these emails.
Well, Hillary Clinton's emails that are contained in the servers that are going to be examined and are being examined by the computer experts and the grand jury and all the judicial investigators, they are simply going to be filtered for the names Brad Birkenfeld, Union Bank of Switzerland, Abdullah Aziz, Covington and Burling, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, and voila, you have the matrix of treason. And treason is what this is. And you throw in Roger Zackheim, which is the son of Dove Zackheim, my boss, then you got the cherry on the sundae because you have a complete picture of treason. Because I was sending these reports to Roger Zackheim at the House Armed Services Committee when he worked as the deputy staff director there, and he was an attorney. He had also been at the Pentagon. And Roger Zackheim covered up these reports. And then he took a job in 2014 at Covington and Burling.
In the same law firm.
The same law firm that represented UBS that I was exposing in these reports. Of course, I was exposing his dad. I didn't know at the time that he was at the House Armed Services Committee, but he was there and he was covering for his dad and he was setting himself up for a job. Hey, Covington and Burling, I'll hide this report if you hire me for $1 million a year. Sure, come on, welcome to the family. And he joined the mafioso law firm in Washington, Covington and Burling. He wrapped arms and kissed Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Michael Chertoff, and they all become one nest of thieves. So Covington and Burling is implicated in the Hillary emails. You see the Hillary negotiations with the Swiss to cover this up, to, quote, defend against the financial crisis. They threw Birkenfeld in prison for this. And all of it is really treason, because I come back to simply, were American men and women, kids, maimed, killed, had their arms and their faces blown off, their lives taken by IEDs, by bombs, by bullets that they sacrificed their bodies for, their souls for, to go over and fight for a false flag lie. This money source was used as part of the vast terrorist financing networks that the Saudi Arabians are the main spigot for. And she said in her quote, "It is long past time for the Saudis, the Qataris, and the Kuwaitis and others to stop their citizens from funding extremist organizations," Clinton said in a national security speech. Well, right there, Paul, Donald Trump should pull the lever and the floor will drop out from under her and she will fall and crack her neck and hang on that statement alone, because he can say, Hillary Clinton, what about Abdullah Aziz? What about that bank account? What about Brad Birkenfeld? What about Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Covington and Burling? What about Roger Zackheim? What about Scott Bennett, the military officer that reported this? And a conspiracy was created between Dianne Feinstein and Bill Nelson of Florida. Bill Nelson wrote Dianne Feinstein lambasting me. He put the letter on his website. But you know what he did by doing that, Paul? He established the conspiracy.
Yep.
He proved and showed that he knew about me. He knew about the reports. He attacked me for discovering it. So he's basically saying this Scott Bennett has discovered financing that's hurting our soldiers. Damn him. Every American should be absolutely sickened and outraged and be lighting torches and pitchforks to drive these bastards out of Congress, because they are traitors. If you've lost a son or daughter, it's because of this. Not necessarily every bullet bought with this Swiss franc would contribute, but it certainly is part of the larger matrix. We could have shut this war down 10 years ago if we had acted on this, and it's been a consistent, quote, shell game. They've been moving the money around. They've been moving the reports around. They've never responded. They refuse to. We've recorded the video calls on Skype. We've called Trump's office and given him the basic info. We've called Bernie Sanders' office and given him the info. We've called all the other members of Congress who are looking into whistleblowing. Of course, they've all refused to do anything about it so far. But I think Trump is acting on it now, and I think he's got a great opportunity to really pounce on this and expose it further, because all of the documentation is there, and it's a blood trail that leads to treason that warrants a complete change in the entire congressional establishment.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up was the connection with Loretta Lynch, our current attorney general, because I think this is kind of pivotal for people to understand, especially in light of the email criminal investigation going on by the FBI.
Yeah, Loretta Lynch was the official of the Department of Justice that gave Union Bank of Switzerland the 2% fine and a non-prosecution agreement. That was Loretta Lynch. She was Eric Holder's gal or thing, whatever you want to characterize her as. And Loretta Lynch essentially gave UBS a complete blank check, said you got 6 months to get your act together, then we're going to have to make a political action, then we're going to have to fine you. So get all your real bank accounts, get all the Saudi bank accounts that are being used, and hide this. That's essentially what she said. And she gave them a 2% fine, and they walked away free and clear. And they threw the whistleblower, Brad Birkenfeld, who brought this information, brought it to the American people, brought it to the moms and dads, saying, hey, I worked in Swiss banks, and look what I found, and we need to act on this to stop these terrorists. And the American people would have fallen on their knees and thanked him for saving the lives of their kids had they known. But instead, Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Barack Obama all threw him and covered this up until I met him, until I got a hold of it. And then I funneled it up to Martin Dempsey, Ray Odierno, Jeff Jacobs, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of the Army, Commander of U.S. Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command. And I said, this is what I found. You need to act on it. And then a few months after that, Snowden left the country and went public. Snowden worked with me at Booz Allen Hamilton. Snowden was also part of the CIA operation that was targeting Birkenfeld in 2007, 2008. He disclosed that to his article to Glenn Greenwald in 2013. And it was right after that that Bill Nelson went public, and I was making reports every month. I was writing letters every month. Finally, it cracked, and Bill Nelson went public and told Feinstein about this Scott Bennett, who's connected with Snowden, who's got a clearance and discovered this stuff. That's where the whole thing ignited. Now, the other thing that's interesting is Brad Birkenfeld, when he was getting out of prison, we were going to go right back to the Senate. He said, Scott, I'm going to give all this information and bring you in as the military expert that knows all about these terrorist financing accounts. And when he got out of prison, we sent it to General James Mattis, who was fired within 30 days, fired, as you know, Paul. Someone walked into his office during a briefing and said, you're relieved.
Right.
Brad Birkenfeld was then paid $104 million to go silent. Now, keep this in mind. He was paid on the exact same day as Benghazi, September 11th, 2012.
Okay, hold it there, because that's some big news, and we got the break coming up. When we come back, we're going to explore more of this information that's coming out about Hillary Clinton slamming her own donors, her own terror finance donors. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Are you taking Viagra for ED? Now you can get Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, in generic 20 milligrams for just $2 per tablet. That's a savings of over $40 per dose. Marley Drug is a North Carolina pharmacy delivering generic Sildenafil to your door. For information on Sildenafil, call us at 800-919-9263. That's 800-919-9263. Again, 800-919-9263.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a bill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio with Scott Bennett, and we're talking about Brad Birkenfeld being silenced because he knew too much information about terror financing. It's the Swiss banker, and it just so happens he was paid $104 million on September 11, 2012. And as I was sitting here realizing what Scott was saying, that was really the moment of the big pivot in which so many arms were going to be shuffled off into Syria and the creation of ISIS was going to happen.
That was the major change in the American policy. Libya, the death of Chris Stevens at the consulate on September 11th, the coordinated attack, the obvious mercenary CIA Mossad operation that took him out because he was problematic in the weapons transfer and the money transfer. That occurred on the same day, and there's a video of it, and I've sent it to you, and it's on my website. That payment of Brad Birkenfeld of $104 million, probably at the end of a gun, and I'm sure he didn't get all of it. I'm sure it was a big money laundering operation, and I know that better than anyone. So he got some money, but the vast majority probably went right up into Syria, right up against the Assad regime, and right up with the Turks, right up with the Saudis that were taking all their criminals out of jail and basically releasing them to go fight jihad and giving them Captagon drugs to energize them. That was the sea change, it going all right up to Syria. But the timeline doesn't change. The story doesn't change, Paul. We know this and have lived this and have seen it up close and personal. And it's like we have multiple lines in the water and we feel each tug of the fish. And we know instantly, you know, like a spider web at the center of the web, we feel all the strands moving. And I know Booz Allen Hamilton, or the September 11th, 2012 payoff of Birkenfeld, or $104 million, pivot up into Syria, the whole Benghazi attack, the men who were killed, they should be part of this exposure of everything that happened. All the Senate, Trey Gowdy and those who examined, I think it was the House or the Senate that examined Hillary Clinton. We reached out to them and never got any response back, but they need to be held to account to synthesize this material into any investigation in Benghazi. And the other thing is, when I got out in 2014, I hit the ground running and I started reporting this. I started, again, filing letter upon letter, email upon email, making phone calls. And the only agencies really that listened to me was RT and Press TV. RT did an interview with me with Peter LaBelle on Crosstalk. Within a month after that, Putin and the Russian investigators had began looking into the terrorist financing elements. They had discovered the cache in Palmyra later on, but they focused on exposing this at the Geneva conference, and they started drawing attention to terrorist financing that was going on in Turkey and in Syria operations. And then the Iranian Press TV was the only one that interviewed me that was asking questions. How did this happen? Who was involved? So it's very telling that none of the American media have breathed a word on this, despite the fact that Michael Isikoff of NBC News and Tom Hamburger of The Washington Post came up and interviewed me for 2 hours, took a stack of documents that I had, and never gave the documents back, never reported one word, and went completely silent. Now, Trump can also take an uppercut punch at The Washington Post to say, the reason I revoked your credibility and press credentials is precisely what you did to this military officer who was illegally incarcerated and reported terrorist financing connections. Tom Hamburger of The Washington Post, you did nothing. You reported nothing. And you should have, because Hillary Clinton is implicated. Hillary Clinton has been the Secretary of State at the time all of these bank accounts were being analyzed and revealed. And it's all in the WikiLeaks cables, and it's all in Bennett's report, and it's all available to citizens to get just Google shell game by Scott Bennett. And all the documents are there.
Well, you know, we're coming up to the actually almost the end of the hour. It's gone really, really quick. This whole thing, getting back to Benghazi, is really, I think the Birkenfeld was the pivot point. They had to get make sure he was silent because the operation was going to go big time after Benghazi because they had all the weapons they needed and they had the conduit that was already established by Qatar providing weapons into weapons we bought and paid for, the United States of America, into Libya. So that whole operation was really starting to spring forward, and that was what we were reporting 18 hours after the attack. No one else was, that this was a gun-running operation. It was pretty obvious. And, of course, now we've known that it, even more so, even Fox News 2 weeks ago comes out and finally says that Benghazi was a gun-running operation for arms into Syria. I mean, it's just absolutely staggering. That's 4 years later almost that these guys are starting to wake up and see what's happening. You know, I think we have a long ways to go, but I think that actually through our media sources that we provide – through Agenda 21 Radio and alternative media sources such as your radio shows and what you're doing out there, we're getting the word out. People are believing us and not them.
Yeah. Yeah, they you know, the American people have a core integrity and they recognize it in others. And they also feel a duty to get involved and make phone calls to their congressman and senator, not necessarily to change him, but to put him on notice, to put them on notice that they work for you, that they are the pinata and you're about to take a swack at them with this document called shell game or other materials and hold them to account and say, you have now been given notice. You are now legally obliged to act on this and report this, or else you're going to be guilty of misprison of a felony because the felony is treason. The felony is terrorist financing. Never mind the International Criminal Court implications. Never mind a Nuremberg hearing for all of this devastation that we've unleashed in the Middle East and all the terrorist financing that we've conspired to hide. All of this needs to be given to members of Congress who represent the American people, and they need to be held to account and the phone calls recorded on Skype, and they need to be forced into a corner. Choose this day who you will serve.
Hang on, Scott, we got the music. We'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Are you taking Viagra for ED? Now you can get sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, in generic 20 milligrams for just $2 per tablet. That's a savings of over $40 per dose. Marley Drug is a North Carolina pharmacy delivering generic sildenafil to your door. For information on sildenafil, call us at 800-919-9263. That's 800-919-9263. Again, 800-919-9263.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Med is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
This notion that somehow I can just change the laws unilaterally is just not true.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Scott Bennett, and Scott has agreed to stay over for the next hour, so we're going to keep him on for the next hour. We're talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton slamming the Clinton Foundation and their donors for funding terrorism. I mean, the most hypocritical thing I think I've ever heard, and of course, this is Donald Trump, I think, flushing her out. Don't you, Scott? We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I do. This is Donald Trump flushing her out, and he's banging the gong like the hunt for Red October. And I think it's his to win. All he needs to do is tell the truth and expose it and be the man he is. Don't be a politician. Don't be a consultant. Don't listen to the emasculated, castrated weaklings who live off politics. But be the man the American people will follow by exposing the truth and holding her, the liar, and the criminal in chief that she is, to account. The American people would expect no less.
Well, you know, I think this is, and I'll just quickly summarize this, I think this is her attempt to get out in front of this mess before it becomes a bigger mess and say, oh, we did talk about it. You know, yes. I used to see this all the time in academics where people would say, oh, yeah, I did do this. No, you didn't. You know, for 4 years, you didn't do it. You know, for her, it's 8 years. She didn't do it. She's done nothing but lie to the American people, and now she's having to be forced into the situation where the truth is much greater than her lies could ever hope to overcome. So anyway, we're going to come back with Scott Bennett in the next hour, so stay tuned. Visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. We've changed the address around, so pay attention to that. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And as I always say at this point, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.